Proverbs chapter 18.
And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we pray, Lord, as we open your word, I pray that we would hear from you. And Father, help us not to just go through the motions, but may what we hear change the way we talk. May we honor you with our words, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you, when you woke up this morning and headed to church, kind of said, "Man, this is a great day. I'm so excited. Can't wait to get out of bed, and I'm ready to take on the world"? If you felt like that, raise your hand. Five. How many of you got out of bed this morning, you looked around and saw the light coming in your windows, you looked around at the walls, and you said to yourself, "Oh, for just another hour"? How many of you this morning came to church with a heavy heart, and you're just dealing with life and life's issues, and you just wish the struggles would go away? You're just dealing with life, and life's been beaten on you. You just wish that, you wish you'd get to the other side of the tunnel. Who's been like that this morning? Number of you. For all of those reasons, we need to consider how we talk. We need to consider the air that comes out of our voices, from our mouths and from our lungs and from all the things that make it work. We need to consider the sound that comes out. Do you know that the average person on an average day talks enough to fill 50 pages with their words? Now, if you are a Sika, you're not average. You might fill like 2 pages, but I'm talking like average person, at least the guys in the Sika side. We do about a page or two, I think, a day. Is that what you're smiling about? My father breaks that rule. That is true. My father makes up for the rest of us. But on average, that's what we... Do you know in your lifetime, you will talk enough to fill many, many, many books? Now, I wonder if we were to read your book, what would it say? What would all the words that are coming out of your mouth say? What kind of speech do you offer those who are around you on a regular basis, on a daily basis? Is it uplifting? Does it build people up? Does it tear them down? Do people, after they have heard you talk, walk away and say, "Man, it was really worth having heard what they said"? Or do they walk away and say, "The rest of my life, I wish I'll never hear that voice again"? We have been looking over the summer at the book of Proverbs, and we've been taking it topic by topic. And this morning, what I'd like to do is take the topic of speech from the book of Proverbs. What does Proverbs say about what we say? Now, it says a lot. So I want to give you 3 groups of lists and talk about it a little bit. 3 groups of lists of things that we say, and how we say them and what we say, that I think will help us, will offer us the ability to do much better in the things that we say. So number 1, avoid speech that tears people down. If we are going to talk, we need to make sure that we avoid speech that tears people down. Winston Churchill exemplified integrity and respect in the face of opposition during World War II. During his last years in office, he attended an official ceremony. And while he was at the ceremony, several rows behind him were some men whispering. They said, "That's Winston Churchill." They said, "You know what? I hear he's getting senile. They say he should step aside and leave the running of the nation to more dynamic and capable men." When the ceremony was over, Churchill turned to the men and said, "Gentlemen, they also say that he's deaf, but he's not." Chapter 18 of Proverbs, look at verse 6 with me. "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Let me say, destructive speech can hurt people. We need to avoid speech that tears people down, and destructive speech that tears people down can hurt people. And the first person it can hurt is you. You know, when you talk and you begin saying things, and if you say things that, let me say it this way. When you say things, now I'm not supposed to say it that way. I've been told that I shouldn't talk this way, but let me say it anyway. When you say things that are dumb, the first person that's going to be hurt by that is you. When you say things that are foolish, in fact, when you talk and you begin to rip others down, when you begin to tear people apart, the first person you're going to hurt is you. If there's one kind of speech I just absolutely cannot stand, it's when people just begin tearing people apart. You get some people, it is almost every word out of their mouth is to criticize someone or rip somebody apart or tear somebody apart. I can't stand listening to that. And when you talk like that, it doesn't make you look smart. When you knock others down, it doesn't raise you up. All it does is have people look at you and think, you know, you're not quite what you think you are. It says here that a fool's mouth invites a beating, that a fool's mouth walks into a fight. In other words, when you say things that are foolish and you say things that are bad, all you are doing is leading yourself to a path that will hurt you. When you tear people down, really the person you're hurting the most is yourself. The word destroy, well, let's go to the next verse. Verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 9. Destructive speech can hurt people. You hurt yourself, and you also hurt your neighbor. You hurt the people that you talk about. Look at chapter 11, verse 9. "With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered." The godless man destroys his neighbor. The word godless here is a word that means hypocrite. Person who's defiled in his mind and conscience, but he conceals it. He fakes it on the outside, but on the inside, he's godless. On the outside, he has a zeal and an affection towards God, but on the inside, he could care less about God. He's a hypocrite. And this kind of man destroys his neighbor, which means to lay waste or ruin. How does he do it? How does the godless tear his neighbor apart? Well, gossip, backbiting, rumor, slander, innuendo, blasphemy, degrading, demeaning. All these kinds of speech are the kind of speech that people use to destroy their neighbor. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth." but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let me ask you this morning, does your speech lift people up or does it destroy people? You can destroy yourself, you can destroy your neighbor. In fact, if you skip down to verse 11, notice you can also destroy a city. By the blessings of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Speech that can ruin a person, speech that can ruin others, speech that can ruin a city. In fact, speech can ruin a whole nation. Destructive speech hurts people. Let me say also, destructive speech can lead others into sin. Skip over with me to chapter 5 of Proverbs. Chapter 5 is a chapter that is all about how to avoid adultery, how you can remain as a married person pure and faithful to your spouse. And in verse 3 of chapter 5, it says, for the lips of a forbidden woman, an adulteress, drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end, it is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Destructive speech can lead others into adultery, and so it is true of adultery and sin. Speech that destroys others, speech that invites others to sin, speech that invites others to turn away from God, speech that invites others to do that which is wrong. Just like the adulteress, her speech seems to be honey, it seems to be smoother than oil, but in the end, notice it's bitter and it's like a sharp-edged sword. All it does is hurt. It hurts people, leads people into sin. Why do you notice also that destructive speech can be contagious? It hurts people. It invites people to sin, but it also is contagious. Look with me at chapter 18 and verse 8. How could speech that destroys people, tears people down, that is, hurts people, that leads people into sin, how in the world can it be contagious? Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 8. The words of a whisperer, that is, the words of a gossip, are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. I was looking for something to snack on last night. And I'm going all over the house looking, opening cupboards and closing them. And finally, Connie said to me, there's candy in the piano room, because she's always giving out candy to the kids who come for piano lessons. So I go out into the piano room, and I'm looking for, you know, something that I'm going to like. And there's these little tiny candy bars. Now, I only like one candy bar, a $100,000 bar. It's the only one I eat. I don't eat any other kind of candy. So I look down in this jar, and I see, and of course, I didn't have my reading glasses on. I couldn't tell for sure, and it said Milky Way. And I thought to myself, I don't like Milky Way. But I want something, so maybe I'll eat the Milky Way. And about the time I'm getting ready to pull it out and open up the wrapper, my wife yells from the kitchen what kind of candy bar it was. And what was it? A caramel apple candy bar. Now understand this. I think in life there are some things that go together really well. I think me and my wife go together well. I just think some things go together really well. But I have never been one to believe that caramel and apple go together. Now, you may think that. I don't think that. So there's no way I was going to eat those caramel, apple, Milky Ways. So I threw them back in the jar. And I walked out of the room. And I kept searching. Do you know that when it comes to gossip, it is a delicious morsel, and people don't tend to throw it back into the jar? They tend to want to go in the jar and get more of it, more of it, more of it. You hear people talking in a group, and they're talking about the person that's not there, and they're in the group, and they're ripping somebody down and tearing them apart. And the tendency is, the sinful tendency of our heart is to join that group and listen to what's going on and often join in the conversation. Why? Because destructive speech can be contagious. Now, if your heart is right with God, you don't want anything to do with that. If your heart is right with God, your tendency is to hear that going on and just walk away. If your heart is right with God, the tendency is to hear that and want to go in and stop it. Unfortunately, so often our heart is so full of sin that speech that is destructive often can be a delicious morsel. It destroys, it devours, and it ruins people. The book of Proverbs, the book that teaches about wisdom for everyday life, the Bible, tells us that our speech ought not to be destructive. Remember those old saying that your mom used to say, or maybe it was your dad, if you have nothing good to say, don't say it? You know, those words really come from the Word of God, not so much in that phrase, but the Word of God says that very thing. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say it. If all you have to say is something bad about somebody, keep it to yourself. That is the Christian way. That is the kind of speech that God wants in our heart and in our life. Now, that does not mean that sometimes we don't confront sin. Sometimes we need to confront sin. But it certainly means that we don't confront sin when the person needs confronting is not present. All we're doing is gossiping and backbiting. So let's go to number two. Let's avoid speech that tears people down. And number two, let's use speech that builds people up. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Use speech that builds people up. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Use speech that brings joy to people's heart instead of making them feel worse. Anxiety in this life, it just weighs on your heart. You feel like you're being pulled apart. It feels like you're being teared apart. We today call that stress and worry. And it can rip at you. This past week, I had a little project going on at my house. I have a 75-gallon reef tank, which means that I have saltwater fish and I have corals and all kinds of things in the tank. I have a starfish that's about this big that everyone thinks is an octopus, but it isn't. It's a starfish. And I decided, Martin, with a lot of help from Martin, that I would take the tank that is underneath my tank, which we call a sump, that runs up to the fish tank, kind of filters everything. I was going to put that in my basement. So I had to buy a bunch of PVC pipe and glue them all together and run one pipe so that it would come from the tank in the basement through the first floor up to the tank about 5 feet off the first floor and feed the water into that. And then I had to build another side that would take the water from that tank and all the way down into the basement. Then I can work on my tank. I wouldn't have to be bending over, not going to hurt my back. I don't have to carry water anymore. It just works really well. But I'm trying to figure out how to do all these pipes and make them all work, and I kid you not, the first day I began working on this project, I went to bed. I do not sleep much. On an average day, I go to bed about 11 o'clock, and I wake up at 4. I don't sleep much, and usually I wake up in between there a bunch of different times. This night, I don't dream much either. But the night I started this project, I dreamed. And my dream was that these PVC pipes, which are plastic pipes, which, you know, there's one end over here and one end over then. These things were coming up like a maze. and they were attacking me. I mean, I was so stressed out about trying to figure out how these pipes work. They were all over and they were attacking me. You know, sometimes life feels like it's attacking you. Sometimes things happen in your life and you feel like in your life, you just feel like you're falling apart. And you're not always acting right. You're not walking with a smile because you're hurting inside, and you're not cheerful because you're hurting inside, and maybe you're not doing things just right because you're hurting. And somebody comes along and they just rip at you because you're not doing things right. And you already were feeling like about here, and then they rip at you, and now you feel like you're way down here. You know, we need to learn in life that we can either help people with our words or we can destroy them. When someone's not getting things right and you're in that restaurant and the waitress just isn't getting things right, or maybe you're somewhere else and someone's maybe not just driving right and you're there and you want to scream and you want to shout, realize maybe they're having a worse day than you're having. And maybe you felt slighted because they didn't say hi to you and you needed someone to say hi to you so you'd feel better about yourself. Maybe they're just having a harder day than you're having. We can use these lips to tear people apart, or we can use these lips to bring joy, bring happiness, help people feel better. See, speech can take a person, as it says in our verse, who is weighed down with anxiety, who's weighed down with problems and trouble, and it can bring gladness to their heart. It can bring joy. That's what the word gladness in our verse means. It means to give joy. I think of Job's friends. You know, how much worse could Job feel when he's lost all his children, he's lost his income, he's lost his friends, he's lost all his workers, he's lost everything he had, he's sitting and he's sick and his body's a mess. How could things get any worse? Well, they can get worse when all your friends get around you and they say, hey, you know why everything's going wrong? It's because it's your fault. Job's friends were never any better of a friend than when they kept their mouths shut. And once they opened them, all they did was make Job's life worse. See, with your mouth, you can do a whole lot better. With your speech, you can do so much better. We can bring joy to someone's life who's hurting just with the right words. In fact, turn over to chapter 15. Not only can we use speech to bring joy, but we can use speech to bring peace. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Often the right kind of speech can take a very tense situation and bring peace to it. The wrong kind of words can only make it worse, can only stir it up to heightens. Does your speech tend to bring peace in a situation? Or does your speech tend to make things worse? When everyone's arguing and fighting and you join into the conversation, does the level of anger go down or does it go up? Number three, use speech, or letter C, use speech to bring forth good. Chapter 15, verse 23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Use speech to bring forth good. Proper word at the proper time can do great good. You know, before you talk, ask yourself, is this the right thing to say? And is this the right time to say it? You're getting ready to talk. Is this the right thing to say? And is it the right time to say it? May not be the right thing to say, and it may not be the right time to say it, so it might be better just to remain quiet. But at the right time, and with the right words, speech can bring forth good. Letter D. Use speech to bring forth or to bring healing. Use speech to bring healing. Turn back to chapter 12 and verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Rash words. Words that are spoken before you had a chance to think them through. They're like being stuck with a sword. But the words of the wise, they bring healing. Proper speech can bring emotional healing and spiritual healing and physical healing even. Proper speech can heal relationships. Proper speech can heal the heart. Let me give you one more. Use your speech to bring forth wisdom. Turn over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Use your words to make people wiser, not dumber. Use your words to increase knowledge. Use your words to add to a subject. Use your words so that after they are done, they help people, not hurt people. Because some speech can hurt and tear people down, and because some speech can build people up, let me say number three, be selective in your speech. Be selective in your speech. And I want to give you a couple of really quick thoughts. We won't have time to turn to all the verses, but I'll try to get them real quick. You can follow if you'd like. Selective in your speech. Here's the thoughts. Number one, be a well, not a gusher. Be a well, not a gusher. Proverbs 10:14 says, the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool brings ruin near. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. You don't have to blurt out all you feel like saying or everything you know. Have you ever noticed some people in groups feel like they got to tell you everything that's in their head? I mean, if you talk whatever the subject is, they just got to talk. They can never just sit there and be quiet and sit and listen. They always got to have their hand up. They always got to have their mouth open. They just can't sit and be quiet. I think some people talk so much, they just like hearing themselves talk. Some people can't leave a conversation without everyone knowing what they think about it. I love this. The difference between a successful career and a mediocre one sometimes consists of leaving about 4 or 5 words left unsaid a day. Be a well, not a gusher. Be willing to be filled and not always feel like you got to pour everything forth. Also, be controlled, not careless. Be controlled, not careless. Chapter 11, verse 12. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. To belittle means to despise. It denotes someone who is full of arrogance and therefore condemns other people. We should be careful with our words. Sometimes people will say about their words being so careless, they will say something like, well, at least I'm honest, and at least now you know where I stand. And sometimes I want to respond, I wish I didn't. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37 says, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Think about it. One day when you stand before God, God will judge you for every word you have spoken. Let me say also, be silent, not noisy. Not only should you be a well, not a gusher, and be controlled, not careless, but you also should be silent, not noisy. Turn over to chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 28. "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." You know, if I grab a chair and I sit in our conversation and talk, or not talk, if I sit in the conversation where there's a lot of talking going on and I just sit there, you know what happens? Without saying a word, you will never know if I'm dumb or smart. It's funny, one time I was sitting in a pastor's meeting. There were about 40 pastors there, and we were having a discussion. So everybody's answering the question, there's hands going up, and there's guys talking back and forth, and I just sat in a meeting like this. Didn't say a word. Meeting's almost over, and finally the guy leading the meeting finally turned over and looked at me, and I looked away just like you do when I look at you, and he said, "Well, hey, Tom, what do you have to say?" I said, "Well, I was just sitting trying to learn from everybody else and hearing some great conversation. Tell you what, it was fantastic." And then I went quiet. I walked out of that room. No one knew where I was as far as my ability to talk, my ability to be smart or to be less smart. I memorized this verse I just read a long time ago. You know the truth is, sometimes when you open your mouth, you really let people know how smart or how many cards are missing in your deck. But if you just be quiet, if you just listen, it says in the verse, even a fool can be thought wise if he remains silent. You don't always have to say everything that you think. You don't always have to get in every conversation. You don't always have to answer every single question. Because we can be silent, not noisy. Someone has said, "It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt." It's also been said, "It would be better to leave people wondering why you didn't talk than why you did." One final thought about our speech. Be honest, not a liar. If anything else, be honest, not a liar. Proverbs 17:7 says, "Fine speech is not becoming a fool, still less is false speech for a prince." Be honest, not a liar. You know, you give one lie, you got to give another. You give another, you got to say another. And you say another, then now you got to cover up everything you said before. And then little by little, you weave yourself into a spot that you feel you can't get out of. Be honest, not a liar. Don't lie to get out of trouble. Don't lie to get out of a bad situation. Don't lie to make yourself look good. Have integrity and always be honest. One pastor wrote that he had formed a mutual encouragement society. And he gathered people together, and they would meet on a weekly basis. And the goal of the the meaning would be to encourage one another. So they made an acrostic, and in the acrostic they wrote down the word think. And from the acrostic they decided they would never speak unless they would fill the acrostic with the questions that went with it. The T stood for, is it true? The H stood for, is it helpful? The I stood for, is it inspiring? The N stood for, is it necessary? And the K, is it kind? So before they said anything, they would ask themselves, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And if it didn't pass that test, they kept their mouth shut. So let me say, don't use your speech to tear people down. Use it to build them up. And if you're going to do that, it means that in your speech you need to be selective and careful in what you say. Because who knows, today might be the day that you say those words that someone just needed to hear that made the difference in that person's life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word that is always right, that is always true, that is always helpful. Help us, Lord, to learn from it. And I pray, Father, and I understand, as it says in James, that this tongue is very powerful. No human being can tame it. We understand that, Lord. But we ask this morning, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is given to each child of God the moment they trust in Jesus, we ask through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would help us to control our tongues, our speech. And help us, Lord, to say only words that will help people, that will benefit them. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.